Have you run into legal trouble? Are you in need of a good lawyer? Look no further than the law offices of Sidney Powell and only Sidney Powell. An unprecedented track record, taking 100% of cases. Listen to one of our many success stories.
I was arrested for driving under the influence. Most lawyers looked at the evidence and said to plead guilty. Not Sidney Powell. She said that Vladimir Putin had tried to fix this year's NCAA March Madness tournament by hiring sex traffickers to store two bottles of wine inside my stomach. The jury voted not guilty by reason of someone else's insanity. I had no idea that was even an option.
Sidney Powell has the motivation, experience, and banana parsley to help you win your case. Six Angel Barstool Fart Cabinet Lawnmower Cheesecake Magnet. Waterface Kneecap Anchor Sleeve. The law offices of Sidney Powell and only Sidney Powell. Call now. Look for the phone number, handwritten on several Snapple bottle caps. You're listening to Questionable Material, produced in New York by Jack Helmuth and Brian Sack. QMPodcast.com. Cats and Cats Law Firm.
Hi, I'm calling about a lawsuit I've got towards my my dog Carson.
Your dog Carson, okay.
Yep, and I thought you guys might be the ones to go to.
We quite possibly are. Yeah, we do trial litigation, no problem.
So my dog is he's stealing food off the table. Mm-hmm. He took a dump in my movie room. Mm-hmm. And is just generally underfoot. And I was wondering what recourse I have.
Well, I mean, it looks like you could claim mental distress, but I'm actually not an attorney. I'm just a receptionist.
Okay.
So I will need to defer this phone call to one of our attorneys at Cats and Cats.
Okay. What sort of cat lawyer and what sort of like legal background, what sort of, education do they have? I don't want to be racist, but when I hear Cats and Cats, I think, well, they're the perfect people to sue a dog. But there's also that small part of me, that sort of prejudiced part of me, that thinks, well, there's a cat and they have a brain the size of a peanut.
Well, that is true, but I think you've made an error, because this is Cats, K-A-T-Z. It's a law firm. It's Benjamin Katz, who's a he's an attorney, and his son, Michael Katz.
What sort of cat are they?
Jewish cats.
Why would a kitty cat have a religion? They don't. I mean, a cat can't. I mean, think about what you just said. A cat can't pray.
Right. No.
Whatever God they think exists.
No, they identify as humans. They are not felines.
Okay. I don't want to get into this whole what someone identifies argument. Like, okay, I'll call your kitties they. How about that? Okay, that's fine. Whatever sort of PC games you want to play. I just want to know, like, when your cat is done scooping litter over its poo-poos, will he fight for me to get my maximum value when I sue the crap out of my dog?
Now, see, I think the problem is, and maybe this is the fault of our advertising, although I believe it's K-A-T-Z in the ads, and I don't think we claim to be kitty cat barristers or lawyers.
Right, the cool way to spell cats, K-A-T-Z. I get it. Go on.
Right. But it's actually a surname, and it's Benjamin Katz and his son, Michael Katz. And what they are.
Surname? No, he's not royal.
Okay. Well, what I'm saying is it's their last name.
Their last name
is Katz. They're not actual felines. They are humans. They went to, Brandeis. And then got their legal degrees from Harvard. Mm-hmm. So they're not cats. And I understand. No, so I'm seeing what you want is you want a feline attorney. You want an actual cat to take the case against your domestic pet, a dog.
That's definitely what I'm looking for, which is why I called you guys. And I'm also looking for someone who did their undergraduate work at a better school. Do you have one of those?
Well, I mean, Brandeis,
like,
is
tabby?
Brandeis is quite a good school.
Okay, sure. Maybe for a cat. Okay. But, you know, in the human world, are you kidding? In the human world, we like to go to better undergraduate schools. Uh-huh. Well, like maybe something Ivy League.
Well, it's up there as far as a school goes. And are you trying to call something?
I'm trying to keep your attention because I think you're kind of out of it, sir.
No, I'm responding to you. Did you get our number from 1-800-LAWYERS?
Yeah.
Okay, and not the poster we put up at Pet World?
I don't know. I grabbed the flyer from somewhere. I was out buying dog food somewhere. Oh, it's probably the Pet World one. So I was thinking, well, here is someone who can fight for my rights and who's going to really like take a personal approach to sticking it to dogs.
Well, I mean, we can certainly pursue this case against your dog. I just want you to not be disappointed in the fact that it's actually two humans who would be taking the case, Benjamin Katz or Michael Katz, and not actual cats. Like,
is either one of them a Maine Coon cat?
No, they're both from Eastern Europe by their heritage.
Okay. Well, I mean, I don't know how this works. Have I won my lawsuit yet?
No. We'd have to have you come in for a consultation. We'd go over the case with you, and kind of determine what you're looking to get out of it, and what you could get out of it. Now, again, you're suing a dog.
Yeah.
So dogs are not known to have a lot of assets. They might have some bones buried in the yard. That's something we can go after, of course, with forensic accounting. They might have some favorite chew toys. So there's not a lot of material good you're going to get out of this case, even with a successful lawsuit. So wow. We had to kind of determine what exactly you're looking to get out of this.
All right. Well, you know, this is why I came to a cat lawyer, okay? Because I know you're going to be able to think of ways to get back at a dog that's not just ways to get to a dog that's not just material wealth.
Okay.
Okay. I know as a receptionist, that sort of is where your brain goes.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about ways that a cat would think, ways to get back at the dog, scratching its nose, pushing it off the porch, biting it while it's asleep, getting a spot warm and then knocking the dog off and taking the warm spot. I'm talking about classic ways to get back at my dog for what he has done to my family.
Okay. I see that Mr. Katz just got off the phone. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to transfer you right to him and you can discuss this matter further. Is that okay with you?
That'd be fine. Thank you.
Okay, please hold.
Mm-hmm. Meow.
Oh, finally. Thank you.
Delicious feast. I can tell this is the beginning of an enduring friendship between the Native American and the white man.
Could be.
Right?
Yeah. It's good so far.
Hello, John.
Hello, Peter.
How are the wife and kids?
Well, she died in childbirth, and the child died in childbirth.
Well, you know what they say. It's 1621, and a lot of mothers die in childbirth.
That is accurate. You've somewhat alleviated my grief.
Happy Halloween, John. Did you get anything?
I got Snickers.
You mean that people snickered at you because of your terrible costume?
Of course. What other definition is there for Snickers?
Chief. Would you like to play a game?
Sure.
It's called Cowboys and Indians.
How do you play?
You run around and we shoot you.
Oh, so it's a lot like the game of Settlers and Indians.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah. All right, we can, I guess. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
How?
How who?
No, how, hello.
Great. You got tickets to the big concert? You're kidding me. How?
I got them from a scalper.
Hey.
Why so glum, Chief?
I heard my squaw last night screaming Geronimo.
Why was she screaming Geronimo?
Because she was with Geronimo.
Thanksgiving is here.
Yeah.
Tell me about, tell me what you're thankful for this year.
Oh, so many things to be thankful for in 2020. And it's a shame this year is drawing to a close.
I agree. We might need a longer show. Tell the affiliates we're running long.
I'm thankful for the chance to spend so much time with my family.
Mm-hmm. That's sweet.
You know, to realize that, we are compatible. There haven't been any murders. There's been no screaming or shouting or people locking themselves in rooms or disappearing into the woods or just not coming home, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
No major fights or anything. And I'm also thankful for having a liver that can handle the stresses of lockdown.
Right.
The beer and the wine.
Yeah.
Or whiskey.
Well, that's the hero of 2020 to me.
Is the liver?
Your liver.
My liver.
I mean, to clean that much blood.
First of all,
you've almost doubled in size. So there's a lot more blood to clean. But it's also just the amount of alcohol that you consume when things are going well would, you know, kill most farm animals. But there's nowadays,
yeah,
what you must be doing to yourself, that your liver is still, that you still have a not yellow skin right now, as I look at you on this monitor. Mm-hmm. I mean, phenomenal work, Brian's liver.
Thank you, liver. One of the terrifying things I learned, actually, from doing an appearance on Stu Bergier's show, is that COVID causes liver damage.
You know, I heard that.
And that's terrifying.
I heard your interview, which was very funny, by the way. Stu was great. And that is terrifying.
Because, man, I mean, that's the one thing people have when they're locked down. It's like, yeah, I guess I'll just drink this bottle of wine.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, yeah, you get sick. You might not even be able to do that.
I know.
What are you thankful for?
Oh, geez. I'm thankful for automobiles.
Oh.
So I can drive away from my family for, an hour or two at a time. And then, unfortunately, then I become very resentful of automobiles because then they drive me back to my family.
Right.
Because I don't have any place else where I could escape to or go to or sleep at.
Yeah, there's no escape for you. That's the difference between having young kids and older kids. I have the older kids. They escape from us. They would gladly sit in their rooms and not be bothered by parents. Your kids, they want daddy and mommy, don't they?
They sure do. This is like the longest I've ever gone to the podcast recording without a child walking in, looking at me longingly, being like, daddy, when are you going to be done?
Yeah. So I can imagine that's stressful and probably contributes to a lot of internalized anger and probably lowers your immunity system and makes you sick.
Well, it's so funny they mention that because I'm sick. I'm under the weather right now. So I guess I'm internalizing a lot of rage.
Huh. You know, the funny thing is that it's all going to come out at some point, and that's when things will get interesting, and that'll be a really cool episode.
Yeah. What do you predict for when my rage boils over, which is coming very soon? What's that going to look like for me?
Well, I mean, here's what I imagine in my head is we're doing a bit, and then I hear that familiar sound of your squeaky door opening, and then I hear like a daddy. And since your camera still doesn't work and I only see a black rectangle, I'm only going to hear the sounds of just the explosion. That is it. I've had enough. There'll be a lot of the sounds of stuff falling, pictures falling off the wall, the bookshelf, something striking the bookshelf multiple times, and then like a broken window, possibly a scream. And then outside, we'll hear the screams of your neighbors. Maybe the guy who has been hiring a lawn crew ever since this COVID thing happened with no regard for anything but his lawn.
And we'll
hear that, and screams from maybe some of the gentlemen that are employed. They're going to say, "Ay, caramba, what is this?" And then you'll hear sirens and then you sobbing and then your wife calling your name. What happened? Because she's, of course, bedridden with the back thing. So you just, what did you do? What did you do? And then the other kid just going, "Daddy, daddy, why?" So I don't know. I mean, I could add funny sound effects because I want to spice it up.
Yeah, but you've got to produce around that.
Yeah. So I'll add some sound effects like a boing.
You know, we can't celebrate holidays in the way that we once did.
Nope.
You know, there's a lot of people claim there's a war on Christmas. I mean, literally people now just say Happy Indigenous Peoples Day.
Right.
Instead of Columbus Day, as if they've just decided that's just what it's called now.
Right.
And Thanksgiving. What are the ways in which, now I know you wrote the book on Thanksgiving.
Yep.
I should write these things down. What was that called again?
Thanksgiving, Thanks Taken.
Yeah. Great title. I was wondering if you could sort of tell us some of the ways that you're predicting, Thanksgiving to change in the coming years, heck, maybe even starting today on Thanksgiving, but certainly, certainly in the very near future, you are predicting a lot of really jarring changes to the holiday. Could you talk us through some of those, please?
Yeah, well, one of the changes to the holiday is going to be the name, Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, that name is offensive to some people because it's, oh, thanks for giving us this land mm-hmm. that you decided you didn't need. So, you know, it's kind of viewed, some people do take offense to the name Thanksgiving. So it's going to be called Eat Food Day.
Oh, okay.
You know, that seems like something that's not offensive to anybody. That a universal thing. We all eat food, right? Everybody eats, everybody poops, you know, it's one of the universal things. And on the, you know, Eat Food Day holiday, obviously, it's unfair. It's inequitable because some people have big meals. Some people have smaller meals.
Yep.
Some people have interesting guests. Some people have dull guests. And so there will be an Eat Food Day lottery.
Okay. Oh.
So this is what happens. So Eat Food Day, and the governors will get together and come up with an arbitrary number of guests you have to have. Okay. And because right now they've perfected the art of arbitrarily determining numbers and percentages and things.
They really have. They're really good at it.
So there will be, let's say it's a 10-person dinner. Everyone will sign up for the Eat Food Day registry, which is very similar to Selective Service, except it's for everyone from 13 until death. And you sign up for this registry and you get assigned a number. And prior to every Eat Food Day holiday, there will be a lottery system that's employed and you will essentially be drafted Eat Food Day gathering. You will be provided with the address and you'll show up to Eat Food Day. And you will be in a room with 9 other people with whom you're most likely not related to. There is the chance, of course, the lottery numbers, the stars will align and your lottery numbers will wind up with you with a cousin, a distant cousin or something.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And then you'll proceed to sit down. Now, what is the biggest problem with traditional gatherings? Knife fights and politics. People talking politics at the Eat Food Day table.
Right. One leads to the other.
So there will be a list of topics to discuss. And those topics tend to be non-controversial. What's your favorite leaf? You know, nobody has a strong position about that. Oh, I like oaks. Mm-hmm. Oh, I like maples. Oh, ash. But nobody's going to get upset about something like that.
Okay.
In the event it does, one person is always selected per Eat Food Day gathering. One person is selected with the billy horn.
Oh.
The billy horn is an air compression horn that sounds like a billy goat. And at her discretion or his discretion or they's discretion, they press the billy horn button. And that immediately causes the conversation to stop and move on to the next topic on the list.
Can we field test that?
Sure. Here it is. I like the sugar maple, I guess. I mean, it's kind of a cool leaf. And, you know, sugar maples remind me of Canada and maple syrup.
Yeah.
And they obviously don't have the strength of an oak leaf. If you've noticed, an oak leaf is much stronger, more durable.
You know, that reminds me about reparations, I think.
See how that works?
Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
I'm down. That sounds, this lottery thing. I mean, I don't really like the government getting into my family planning, but, or planning for my family, either or.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to work.
It is going to work.
Wow.
This is planned for the first 100 days.
Wow. And then, after the 100th day and after his funeral, what is President Harris going to do?
I believe she'll probably add more rules to the holiday.
Mm-hmm.
She will most likely add her touch of social justice issues to it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, which of course is a problem because that particular ideology actually looks for things to be upset about all the time.
I know that's got to be real tough for her.
Yeah. And the idea behind Eat Food Day is to eliminate any reason for someone to be pissed off. So there might be a little bit of a conflict there, but we have to wait and see.
Well, Brian, I mean, I really appreciate you sharing your knowledge with what's to come for Thanksgiving. It I can't wait to eat food with not you or my family someday.
I look forward to not eating food with you someday as well.
Thanks, Brian.
Happy Eat Food Day, Jack.
Happy Eat Food Day to you. Is that offensive?
No. Jack, we have housekeeping to do.
Okay, let's do it.
So we got some emails, some tweets, some DMs, some communication messages.
Wait, we got some communication messages?
Yeah, we did.
Ooh, those are, it's always, when you get communication messages, when you're doing a podcast, you know things are up.
It's like, oh, wow, people are listening and sending us communication messages.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, keep up the good work. This podcast is my Prozac, Evan.
Oh.
No prescription. I mean, that's a good thing. Podcast as Prozac, that means it's uplifting to him, right? It's an antidepressant.
Yeah.
And
I think it is.
Yeah. And it's free for Evan.
Man, we gotta monetize this to Evan.
I know.
People will go to crazy lengths to get just score drugs.
I know. People love pharmaceuticals. We should get in on that.
Yeah, I want to get in on that.
Hey guys, suggest you get into Parler and Rumble also. Less dilution there, an audience more open to your not always PC, or should I say questionable material. Ha ha, Chris. Ooh. That's from Chris. You know what Parler is? I don't know Rumble, actually. I know Parler is the alternative to Twitter for people.
I've never heard of Rumble, but I do know Parler. I did not know Parler as of like 3 weeks ago, but I now know it quite well.
Yeah, the more Twitter has been censoring people for wrong think, the more folks have been going to Parler. I don't know. I mean, already Twitter engagement is pretty low for podcasts.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Parler is going to do us any favors. It's just one more thing to have to worry about, you know, posting to. I'm not sure, but I'll take a look at it. I've never heard of Rumble. I don't even know what that is. So there was a boxing place in the city called Rumble.
Oh, I'm sure there used to be.
There used to be. It used to exist.
Yeah. And now it's a hobo toilet.
Covered in graffiti. Hey, would you be down for a quick review exchange? If so, send me your show link on iTunes and I'll send mine. Thanks, Aaron. No.
Nope.
Yeah, I don't do that.
No, there's no way we would do that.
Yeah. Let the market dictate.
Absolutely. I'm not going to go give his podcast a solid review having not heard it.
Right. I love you and it makes me really miss the BS of A because listening is fun, but watching is even better. Please, please, please do videos. Don't make me beg, but I beg. Ange. Well, video is much more complicated because you need camera person, actor people, lights, sets.
Audio.
It's much easier props. to do video when you have, like, say, a TV network paying you and has people on staff with cameras. And who are actually required to make videos with you.
Yeah, like our crew on the aforementioned BS of A.
That's right.
Who very angrily and grumpily recorded everything that we did.
That's right. They were there at our disposal. And that was really nice to have. Don't have that anymore. Don't have a TV studio. Don't have a giant prop locker. So harder. Don't have a control room filled with people running teleprompter and making lights go up and down and directing. Oh, that's funny. It's funny. Wasn't the director's name Angie?
Yes, it was.
Oh, so that's funny. It's interesting. Maybe this is Angie. Maybe this is Angie, the director, trying to get the TV show up and running again.
That makes sense. She's just looking for work.
That's insidious, but I love it.
I love it too. I very much want to get back into video.
I would love to. And my wife says, she's like, you guys need to do video. You guys need to do video. And I keep telling her, yeah, it just complicates everything 100 times. Right.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
You know, it's just hard. But, you know, I was thinking of video ideas the other day, just walking around New York. And I was like, man, there's so much shtick you could do about the whole mask thing and the whole dining on the street thing. I mean, there's just tons of stuff.
Yep.
So
it's where we belong. We will at some point return and do videos.
And if you happen to own a video company.
If the president of like CBS Westinghouse is listening, is one of our fans, we would do it for what you would consider a relatively small amount of money.
I have an idea and I think you will like it. : Under the table sponsors. W. Another BS of A reference. Jack, explain under the table sponsors.
So when we were at the BS of A, we solicited small businesses and entrepreneurs, because that was a great deal of our audience, to sponsor our television program. And what we decided to do was, instead of going through the proper channels of getting a proper sponsorship deal, we sort of cut out the middleman is what we decided, and decided to just engage with the businesses ourselves and take all the money and keep it for ourselves. Every single week, we would we would make money from under the table sponsors and create a commercial that the company had no creative control over. So, for example, we would get $300 from the CGA company to hawk their watches.
Yeah.
And
we went out to a giant steak dinner one night at Sparks.
I was getting to that. You would collect the money until we had enough money to actually do something big and grand with it. Right. So yes, we had like a $1,500 steak dinner where we took the staff, like six people out to dinner for steaks. We bought the entire staff iPads back when they were like new.
That's right.
And of course, you know, our big moment, taking $2,500 and putting it on black
The
Trump Taj Mahal in Atlantic City.
Yeah. And we lost. That was for the season finale, right?
Yeah, the season finale
of season one. And it was really fascinating shooting a bet in a casino, because they were like, you know, okay, the cameras are rolling. From this point forward, this is legit, gambling. You know, if you win, you win. If you lose, you lose. There's no doing over. There's no this, there's no that. And we were like, yes, understood. And then he rolled the thing and we lost it on the roulette table, and we lost the $2,500. And Lauren was so pissed at us. She's like, you idiots.
She was
so mad at us.
I remember the casino guy who was with us, I think was legitimately upset that we lost.
He was upset. And I said, why are you upset? You just made $2,500. And he goes, well, it's much better if your viewers see you winning. He goes, you know, viewers just saw you losing $2,500. It would be much better for our casino if you won, because that's $2,500 to us, but it's much, you know, that's more people thinking, oh, I could win money.
So. And now most people credit that moment with the time that Trump decided to focus solely on being a winner and that losers were bad.
Yeah.
And that has led us to the situation we're in today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Historians pointed back to that moment. He saw the footage and was just like, he just hated losers from that point on. So that's the story of the under the table sponsors. We would literally steal from the company and we would brag about it on the show.
Yeah.
And I think it's a great idea. We need more of that.
You know what? I should post some of the under the table sponsor things on the QM podcast website, just because there's some funny stuff.
They're my favorite things we did on the show. It is my favorite recurring bit we ever did.
Yeah. I mean, there's some really, really funny ones. I'll post some. Yeah.
But especially because of the lack of creative control that that the companies had, you know, it wouldn't necessarily be what someone would choose to have associated with their company.
Yeah. I mean, there was the guy who had the hotel.
Yeah.
And we did, you know, and he was a big fan of the show and we did spots for him. And I mean, they implied that his hotel was haunted by Civil War ghosts and had a demon in the basement. I mean, and a portal to hell.
Yeah.
I looked him up years ago and it is no longer a hotel.
Yeah.
I hope that's not our fault.
Yeah, but
there was some fun stuff in there, man.
Yep. Always, that's where we got our weirdest and our most violent.
Yeah, because that usually ended with Ben being killed.
Yes.
That's where all the Ben getting killed shtick came from.
Yeah, it was fun.
Thank you, W.
But what a cool thing for like in all seriousness.
Yeah.
On a conservative sort of anti-authority or anti-authoritarian network like we were on, it would seem like the perfect bit to do, to be like, that's the perfect comedy rebel thing to do, is to like flaunt the fact that we're stealing from the network.
And, you know, and from a business perspective, I mean, these people got, you know, for very little money, got, you know, exposure and had something really fun and were part of the show that they liked.
We could not have loved our sponsors more.
Yeah, no, that was great.
Because they put steak in our bellies.
Yeah. And
what else? What other housekeeping do we have?
Just one more. Brian, the back thing is a ruse. I'm just trying to keep Jack at bay. Bets.
I don't remember that bit. What's that from?
I don't know. I'll have to go back through the videos.
It's funny. Maybe my wife would know. My wife Betsy would know, because she's got a back thing right now. It's killing her. It's keeping her from doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we should probably move on. QMpodcast.com is the website.
Since I've been touched.
Yeah, it has the episodes, and we'll put up some clips of shows, things. I have Yelp reviews on there just for fun.
You know, she said your name the other day when she was dreaming.
Well, and then, you know, if you want to email us, contact@qmpodcast.com, or you can send from the website. There's a forum on the website. If you have any input, feedback, positive, negative, yeah, we love it all, right?
I found a pair of your underwear in my drawer the other day.
Oh, out of time. That was questionable material. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast. Make sure to review the podcast. Make sure to visit qmpodcast.com for episodes, show notes, and bonus material.